Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
This is Saturday, September 10th, 2016. This is Tony Herman. Today I'm interviewing Ted Sipko about his military service. Hey, Mr. Sipko, what branch of the service were you in?
Marine Corps.
Okay. And did you grow up in this area?
No, I grew up in New Jersey, Linden, New Jersey.
Okay.
I was born November 21st, 1948. And joined the Marine Corps May 15th, 1967.
Yeah. Were you drafted or did you sign up?
I signed up. I joined.
Okay. Did you fight in a war?
Yes. Fought in the Vietnam War. I was there twice. I was there in 1967, 68, and then went back in 1970.
Okay. What was your experience like?
Scary. I was in the grunt unit, Marine Corps, the infantry unit. You were scared 24/7, pretty much. Seen quite a bit of combat, different times, not all at once, and it was in several different major battles. Wounded twice. 1968, I was shot August 20th, 1968. And then October 6, 1970, I stepped on a white phosphorus booby trap and lost my leg when it was burned a good portion of my body.
Okay. What type of booby trap is that?
It was a white phosphorus. It's like a jelly gasoline. Okay. They used it to, if they had to leave an area real quick and they couldn't take the artillery pieces, they would drop the grenade in the tubes and that would melt the hole in the steel within a matter of minutes.
Okay. What areas of Vietnam were you in?
I was in the I Corps area, which was Da Nang. I forget how far south, and up to Phu Bai, and then back to the Laosan border.
Okay. Which major battles were you in?
Oh, there are several of them. Two of them stays in my mind. Operation Allenbrook, and then Operation Manly Thrust. That was the one in August 20th, 1968, where we almost lost our whole unit. We were on a battalion-sized operation that was supported by tanks. Our company was supposed to be the blocking force, and all of a sudden we dug in across this river the day before, across this one stream, waiting for the rest of the battalion to sweep through, and all of a sudden we got a phone call on the walkie-talkie saying, you're now the main assault group. So here you got 100-plus men, the main assault group, and they told us that the enemy was built up in the village farthest from us, because there are two villages in between us and them, our company, the rest of the battalion. Well, they were wrong. They were in both villages, and they were waiting for us. We crossed through rice paddies. Well, went down the bank, up the across the stream, back up, and we were in rice paddies, and got on solid ground, and got within 20 yards of the village, and they hit us from both sides. The front and the side of us, and we lost 45 guys within the first half hour.
And out of a group of 100.
Yeah, it was more. It's probably more than 100. We had the company was made up of three platoons. One platoon stayed on the other side of the stream with the captain and the mortar tubes for protection. And the other two platoons got up and we were assaulting the village online, in line, and as we got closer to them, holy hell broke loose. And I thought most of the guys were killed because I didn't see them in my platoon for the longest time. And then 5 years ago, I got talked into joining the 1st Marine Corps Division Association. Mm-hmm. And I was on the computer, came across my company that I was in, and seen this guy talking about a good friend of ours that was, him and I were dragging a body back, and he rolled over to see how much further to get into the rice paddy, and he got shot right between the eyes from a sniper. I jumped up, started shooting where I thought the sniper was, and then I got shot. And he told me, I emailed him and said, hey, send me your phone number, because I didn't recognize his name. And he did, and we started talking, and sure as heck was one of my buddies from Vietnam. And he told me that there is 6 other guys that were still alive from there. So we've been getting together for little mini reunions every other year and stuff. In fact, we're going to California for one at the end of the month, my wife and I.
That should be fun. Be good to get to see them. Are you active with any other military groups?
Yeah, I belong to the VFW and the American Legion, VFW in Kansas City and American Legion here in Independence.
Okay. Right. What was it like coming home?
Strange. Coming home, I left Vietnam and got to Okinawa. And right away, they tried to talk you into go back to Vietnam. They're going to give you a bonus, have you in-country R&R, and you go back to Vietnam for another 13 months. And I wasn't going to buy that. Well, this other Marine that I didn't know who he was decided to do that, and he had a .45. Because the first things out of their mouths is they told us, you're going to get back home, and the chances of you getting shot by a protester or somebody else because of riots going on back in the States, you're better off staying in Vietnam. I said, well, I'm not staying in Vietnam. I'm going to go home. So I bought a .45 off this kid, pistol. Mm-hmm. Back then they didn't have metal detectors or nothing like that in the airport. So I get on the plane in Okinawa, gave the stewardess my .45, and then got to California. She gave it back to me, got another plane, gave her my .45, going back to New Jersey. Landed in Newark Airport, the stewardess gives me the .45 back. Walking down the steps from the plane to go into the terminal to get my sea bag, I had that .45 in my hand. everyone looking at me strange and stuff like that. Got my sea bag, got a taxi, and had them take me to my hometown and drop me off right at the highway, and I was going to walk the 5 miles to my house. And going through the town, I just kept looking. People just staring at me and going away and stuff. And still had some of my friends that we got together, but there's several of them that were protesters and hated us. And then I got went home. Then after the Liberty, the 30 days, I had to go to Camp Lejeune for my next duty station. And they came up and said, we're going on a mid-cruise. And I said, no, I'm not going on a mid-cruise. Because in 68, our regiment was beat up pretty bad, and we had to go to the Philippines to pick up new recruits and stuff. And while on ship, I was seasick the whole time. So I decided I'm not getting on a Navy ship. So I signed up for another 2 years, and then I got to pick any duty station I wanted in the country. So I picked one, Lakehurst Naval Air Station, Marine Barracks, 50 miles away from my house. So that was nice. But during that time, one of our good friends, supposed to be one of our good friends, that was a protester, had an incident with me. Well, not necessarily me. A buddy of mine was killed, and the family had contacted my commanding officer and requested that I be a pallbearer and stuff. And I went back home to do that, and while in the funeral home, one of the buddies came in. Well, supposedly, he's not a friend anymore, but he came in, looked at Billy and spit on him and said, "I'm glad you're dead." And I lost it. So that was kind of the attitude that a lot of people had about us.
So besides these six that you're going to be meeting in California, did you keep in touch with anybody else from your unit?
Oh, yeah. I have one guy in Henderson, Nevada. That's Albert Scruggins. Larry Head is from Idaho. Joe Rodriguez is in California. Alden Johnson's in Iowa. Tony Palato's in Pittsburgh. And Bobby Lindmark is up in Wisconsin. So those are the sort of guys that we keep stay in touch with.
Good. So what was your total time in Vietnam?
I had 13 months my first time, and I didn't get that far my second time. I got to a company, and the platoon I was attached to, the first thing out of the guy's mouth were, "Man, we can't keep sergeants." I said, "Dan, don't jinx me like that." And about 2 months later, I stepped on a booby trap. So I was there maybe another 4 months more.
Okay, so was that after you were at Lakehurst, New Jersey?
Yeah, that was out there.
Okay, so how did you end up back over there?
Well, because I signed up for 2 more years. That was a 2-year duty station. And our commanding officer, or the second in command, decided that there were 3 Vietnam veterans that were there, and our 2-year tour was up. He was going to send us back to Vietnam. So the 3 of us went back to Vietnam, and the same day, October 6th, different areas, the staff sergeant lost his life, Staff Sergeant Berger, and Sergeant Watulovich got shot in an eye, lost an eye, and I lost my leg.
What was your highest rank?
Sergeant.
Okay. What words of wisdom would you like future generations to know?
Be careful. Watch where you're walking. Watch what you're doing. Listen to every sound you hear. Just be safe.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to share about your military experience?
Well, I myself, I think the military was great. If you're a young kid, not knowing what you want to do, you have the great opportunity of learning a good trade. Don't have to necessarily be in the infantry. There's a lot of jobs that the Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy offer, and the Coast Guard, the National Guard. Take advantage of it. And it was good for me. I was a high school dropout, going in the wrong direction, and a bunch of us were, well, 5 of us were in Staten Island drinking on a Sunday, and the drunker we got, the gunsier we got. So we're going to go join the Marine Corps Monday morning. Well, I was the only one that showed up, so I joined.
Some friends.
Yeah. Well, they got drafted later on.
Okay.
And stuff, but I had an interest in life, and I have no regrets joining the military. It was good for me. It's good for every young man if they have no direction where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what medals did you receive?
I've got several, but the highest one is the Bronze Star with the V for Valor, and I have the several other ones. That were given, but not as.
Yes. What event did you receive that for?
That was when I lost my leg. Didn't feel my leg. It was just hanging on just above the ankle, my foot. But I was on fire, so the corpsman was, everyone was dumping water in the ground, making mud, and the corpsman was packing it with the mud to cut off the oxygen supply of the white phosphorus. And at the same time, I was giving directions to my men, telling them where to go, what to do, and stuff like that. And that was why my lieutenant felt that I was entitled to the Bronze Star, since being severely wounded and still giving direction to my troops.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
No, I don't think so, unless you have some more questions.
I don't think I have any other questions. Do appreciate your service and
thank you
for sharing this information with us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.